He's humorous and right.
Not baiting anybody. I'd really like to hear. What is it that's so overwhelming that you, as the general public, according to these polls, giving the mayor high marks?
With an attitude.
Now, I'm just throwing that out there from my perspective. You know, he did say, I will do everything legally possible.
In a good way.
It's not a chance for the staff or the campaign for the mayor. For you, the general public, someone who may have been actually surveyed in this.
Rick Hamada, weekday mornings at 5 on News Radio 830 KHVH. It's live and local radio.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Aloha and welcome to The Drew Lawrence Show, your guide to living the enlightened life. Aloha, Drew.
Aloha, Sonia. Aloha, Hawaii, and welcome to the Drew Lawrence Show. My name is Drew Lawrence, and we are here to once again help you to live an enlightened life. Well, I guess we should start like we normally do with planetary events, but before we do that, let me just tell you briefly that today's show is all about the value and the benefit of meditation. So we're going to take you through the different types of meditation that are popular and kind of tell you what they're about and lead you through the different traditions. And then to culminate the show, we again are going to gently take you through a guided meditation of your own, showing you how well and how wonderful and fascinating and easy it can be to begin a regular program of meditation in your life. So let us now turn to planetary events. And, of course, as you may remember from last week's show, we talked about the eclipse that would have happened earlier this morning according to Hawaii time. And, of course, you did not see it because it was daylight, but it was a partial lunar eclipse. And today, ladies and gentlemen, is the full moon day. So let us talk a little bit about the full moon and what we can expect on full moon days. This is a perfect day to be talking about meditation because the moon represents the mind, and it represents the subconscious mind in particular. And the moon represents mind and nurturing the heart, the emotions. This is what the moon relates to. It deals with receiving love, worthiness, fear or trust issues, and also emotional grounding. The moon is considered to be the mother. The sun is considered to be the father. All of this according to ancient yoga philosophy. So on the full moon day, as you well know, well, most of you probably know that it gets really, really busy in emergency wards, in hospitals. And if you talk to the police, they'll tell you it gets really, really busy around the police department. And why is that? Because the moon activates the depths of the mind, of the subconscious, on the full moon day. Now, if you're a grounded person and you're not dealing with a lot of fear and trust issues, it's considered to be a very auspicious or favorable or beneficial day, emotionally speaking. But if you're not very grounded emotionally and you're dealing with issues around fear and insecurity and trust, then these can be triggered very powerfully on the full moon day. So this is an excellent day for meditation, looking at the moon, grounding yourself emotionally. And if you're thinking of doing anything risky or foolish, think twice. Take time, ground yourself, and this too shall pass. So enjoy the full moon this evening. And let us now move on to our weekly business planner. And one of our listeners wrote in and told us he took advantage of the weekly business planner and bought himself a new car. So good for you, Carl. Hope that car works out for you. And the coming week, according to the Weekly Business Planner, is mostly bronze days, my friends. So today, Saturday the 16th from 10:30 a.m., it turned from gray to bronze. And as you may remember, bronze we designate as an average day for business success. Now, it's not just business. It's anything you may do that's of importance to you. Important activities, decisions, buying a car, selling a house, getting married, whatever it might be, and you need it to succeed. Bronze days are kind of average days for success. They're fine. You can go ahead and use them. The best days, of course, are the gold and silver. But we have a whole spate of bronze days throughout the entire week this week until Saturday the 23rd. Saturday the 23rd, it will shift from bronze to silver at 1:36 in the morning. And silver, of course, is a very, very favorable day for success in all endeavors. So average week all week, and then on Saturday the 23rd, we have a silver day. So if you're planning something big, something important, something that is really it needs to succeed in your mind, then I am going to recommend that you do it next Saturday. Well, I'll go a step further and say Sunday the 24th is also going to be a silver day. So both Saturday and Sunday next week, take advantage. These are excellent days for what generally what you may be planning. All right. So let us now turn to the Spirit in Action segment. This is where we ask you to write in and send us a personal story or experience, coincidence, so-called unique situation or synchronistic experience that shows spirit in action in your life. Remember, our email is drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com. That's drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com. And because I sometimes forget, let me remind you now, you can call us if you like at 521-8383 during the show. 521-8383. Toll-free number for the neighboring islands is 888-565-8383. So, Spirit in Action. This is a wonderful story that was provided to me by one of my clients, a very spiritually attuned woman. She ran a jewelry counter in a high-end department store. She began to practice yoga and meditation a couple of years ago. And according to the Vedic or yogic tradition, she then placed pictures of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, sometimes called Shri, and Ganesh. Ganesh is the elephant-headed god. Everybody knows Ganesh. Everybody loves Ganesh, the remover of obstacles. She placed these two pictures right next to her cash register in this big department store on her counter. Of course, in India, it's believed to bring good fortune and financial gain in business when images or statues of Ganesh and Lakshmi are placed in a small shrine or altar somewhere in your place of business. You go to India, you will see Lakshmi and Ganesh in every shop, believe me. So what happened? Well, they had exactly the effect she had hoped for, since she had been doing extremely well in business at her counter. So one afternoon, two thieves entered the department store in broad daylight, I might add, with the intent to steal money right out of the open till. Now, that's pretty bold, pretty brave. That was their intention. Since it was a large department store, there were many, many cash registers to choose from because they had the different counters and departments, etc. So the first counter they approached was a Louis Vuitton counter. They asked the clerk for change, they were told that there wasn't any. They had none. So then they approached our friend's counter on a similar pretext to ask for change, hoping they would open the till and they would make the grab and run. So there was a young female employee who happened to be manning the jewelry counter that day. So my friend, she wasn't there. The owner not present, she had told the young woman that Lakshmi and Ganesh were representations of God or divine energy, and that they were had been placed there to protect things and keep things prosperous. This is all this girl knew. This girl might have been, 21, very young girl. When the thieves asked the girl for change, she told them that she could only open the cash drawer if she had made a sale, if someone bought something. Feeling afraid that these two men, who clearly looked like thugs, essentially had no business in such a high-end department store, the sales girl began to touch the pictures of Ganesh and Lakshmi in the frames next to the cash drawer. One thief selected the cheapest item he could find in the jewelry counter. The sales girl took his money, opened the cash drawer, took out his change, and quickly closed the till and gave him his change. So that's what actually happened. Not only were they unable to rob her, but she made a sale on top of it from this thief. Next thing that happened, the thieves went to the handbag department and successfully robbed one of the tills. Naturally, they were recorded on the security cameras, and finally, they were caught. But that's what happened, and it seems that the divine protection was available at the jewelry counter that day. In fact, the thieves didn't steal anything. Our friends made a sale. So that's the spirit in action story for today. Now, we're going to head off to a break. And then after the break, we're going to, for the first time, explore our Vedic verdict. It's a new segment, and it talks about your Vedic astrology question. We'll be back here in a couple of minutes.
Hi, this is Drew Lawrence, inviting you to join me every Saturday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on KHVH News Radio 830 for The Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life. We will be discussing a wide variety of interesting topics and enlightening subjects, among them spirituality, yoga, meditation, Vedic astrology, business and success strategy, human potential, relationships, female empowerment, healing, the power of gemstones, and technology. I'm sure there will be something of interest for you, especially if you're a person who is trying to access your higher purpose or you are seeking to expand the spiritual meaning in your life. We will also feature interviews with fascinating guests from around the world on a variety of subjects. So please, join us right here every Saturday from 5 to 6 p.m. for The Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life.
Our new segment today called Vedic Verdict. So what we are asking here, my friends, is that you send in a question, your name, birth date, birth time, birthplace, and some question, something you'd like to know about or get a little bit of insight into, and we're going to calculate and discuss that question regarding using your birth chart, your Vedic astrological horoscope. So we have one today that we'll do one or two or three, depending on our time frame or how much time we have. And we have one today sent in to us from Tanya, and Tanya lives in Honolulu. And Tanya's question is, in what medium or media production, literary arts, speaking, visual arts, healing arts, performance arts, teaching, etc., would I maximize the effectiveness of service? by creating space and time opportunities for transformation. Wow, that one's a mouthful. It obviously seems like Tanya is a very gifted woman, seeing how she can do all these different things. So let us look at Tanya's Vedic birth chart and see if we can answer this question for her. This is absolutely very powerful and very dynamic chart. In fact, Tanya, you could do anything you put your mind to. Tremendous success is pretty much guaranteed for you in this chart, especially as you get older. The older you get, the more successful things become. You've just entered into a minor period of Saturn for the next year and a half, which is going to help you realize major desires, goals, and objectives. In fact, your name, fame, acclaim is going to spread and expand significantly over the next year and a half. So this is the time to go for it. Now, to be more specific, what should you do? Well, like I say, it's more like what can't she do than what can she do. But you are in a major period of the moon from 2004 to 2014, March 04 to March 2014. That's 10 years. And the moon being in the sixth house in this chart, and the moon being in Cancer in its own sign, this is the horoscope of a highly, highly gifted healer. And this person is all heart, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about her heart, and she is a nurturer. She takes care of people. She looks after people, and this is where her greatest joy comes. Your ability to heal people, Tanya, comes from your ability to sense what they need. You are indeed, by nature, an empath. So I would steer you toward healing, but I would not limit you in that regard. Yes, you could write, and no question about the fact that you are a teacher, and you could teach, I don't know, just whatever subject that might be of interest to you. The other thing worth pointing out here, Tanya, is that this is the chart of a leader, organizer, manager, an authority figure. You're the one in charge. You're very, very good at administrating, managing, and running the show. So you always need to, don't aim low. Whatever you do, don't aim low. I would say don't even aim in a mediocre manner. You need to aim very high because you are capable and you will be able to realize your goals and your ambitions. All right, so that is Vedic verdict for this week. Please, we encourage you, send in your name, your birth date, birth time, birthplace, and send it to our email address, drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com, and we will endeavor to include you in our Vedic verdict segment. All right. So we're going to move on now to the main topic of our show. We are not going to feature a guest on today's show, but I will tell you that next week our guest will be Dr. Don Brennan, who is an Ayurvedic physician, Ayurvedic medicine. He's a medical doctor and an Ayurvedic doctor, been practicing for some 25 years, and a very interesting man. He's also an author, and he wrote a book on Ayurveda, and he will be our guest next week. So if you're interested in Ayurvedic medicine, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've been using Ayurvedic medicine, seeing Ayurvedic practitioners for, I don't know how many years, 20 years or more. And it is an absolutely wonderful method of medicine and healing. It's non-invasive. They take your pulses. So please tune in next week for Dr. Don Brennan, a very gentle soul, lovely soul, wonderful energy this man has, very enlightened soul, and he will give us a brief explanation and tour of the wonderful science of Ayurveda. Okay, so let us turn to our main topic today, which is the value and the benefit of meditation. So everybody knows something about meditation, right? Well, generally we can assume that. Well, what is meditation? Meditation is when we take ourselves out of our usual frame of consciousness, our usual frame of day-to-day experience. This is our conscious waking state that we are normally in once we wake up in the morning. That's what we deal with day-to-day for the most part. And we interact with people and we do our errands. We do our work. We go about our business. We have fun. We recreate different things. Meditation is when we go into an altered state or an alpha state, sometimes they call it, where you go deeper into the subconscious. Generally, you do that with eyes closed, with quiet, in peace, maybe with some suitable meditational music playing in the background. That's how you would do it. But let us also recognize that sometimes people go off into a daydream. You remember when you were a child in school and you were sitting there at your desk, there was 20, 25 other students in the room, the teacher's up at the board and she's explaining something, and you were where? Miles away. You were off in your daydream. That is also a form of meditation. It is also a form of an altered state. But typically the meditation that we most often refer to is when we have an intention to sit down in a quiet place, close our eyes, and go inward instead of out. Normally, we're always going out. This is all about going in. All right, so first of all, meditation is a receptive process. By and large, most meditation techniques are a receptive process. You don't do meditation. You don't sit down and grimace and, okay, I'm going to meditate. Meditation is something you receive. It's in nature, not yang. It's a feminine process. It's not a masculine process. So one must be in that passive, open, receptive state in order to meditate. You cannot be in such a state unless you are in a deep state of relaxation. Just like you cannot learn something unless you are in an open, receptive frame of mind for learning. That is also a yin or feminine state of mind. So that is the first thing. Okay, now, how does it work? Well, meditation takes us into the subconscious mind. So the subconscious mind, as we know, is, 9/10 of the brain. So, and the conscious mind is 1/10 of the brain. So I guess I'm going to leave you there because we have to go to break now, and we're going to head off for our commercial break, AHVH commercial break, and our news break. And then after that, we'll take that up where we left off, and we will continue with meditation. Stay tuned, and we'll see you back in a couple minutes.
Channel News Center, I'm Linda De La Cruz. President Bush is warning Russia not to make claims on two disputed parts of the former Soviet Republic of Georgia.
A major issue is Russia's contention that the regions of South Ossetia and Abkhazia may not be a part of Georgia's future. These reasons are a part of Georgia, and the international community has repeatedly made clear that they will remain so.
Earlier this week, Russia's foreign minister said Georgia could forget about getting those breakaway provinces back. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Democrats are proposing a real solution to America's energy problems.
It is clear that America's national security and economic leadership demand that we end our dangerous dependence on foreign oil. The current energy crisis demonstrates that we need a comprehensive strategy that utilizes our domestic supply and encourages the promotion of clean, renewable fuels.
As a part of the plan, Democrats are calling for a release of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Here at home, 20 members of a group were arrested last night after breaking into Iolani Palace and taking over the palace grounds for several hours. The group is led by a Hawaiian king who calls himself a Kahinui. Its members struck a female palace member and locked the gates around the palace. Staff members at Iolani Palace were also forced to lock themselves in. Airfare prices are not going down, even though jet fuel prices are. Hawaiian Airlines and GO increased their standard inter-island fare by $10 to $64 because of the soaring price for aviation fuel. Since then, jet fuel prices have tumbled by more than 84 cents a gallon, but no prices have been lowered for tickets. In island weather, it's mostly cloudy with scattered showers, overnight lows reaching 69 degrees. I'm Linda Dela Cruz in the Clear Channel News Center.
Show, Living an Enlightened Life, and we are busy talking about the value and benefit of meditation. The subconscious mind is 9/10 of the brain. The conscious mind is 1/10 of the brain. It's like an iceberg. 1/10 is above the surface, 9/10 is below the surface. But the only way you can access the subconscious is by putting the conscious mind to rest. We do it every night, my friends. We call it sleep. But the problem with sleep is we're not aware, we're not conscious, we're not usually participating in what goes on once we put ourselves to sleep. So meditation is, in effect, a similar circumstance in that you're putting yourself into a deep state of relaxation, but you're not going to sleep. You're remaining conscious and aware, but you're moving then from the conscious into the subconscious mind. That is where everything takes place. So what do we find in the subconscious? Well, the subconscious carries all impressions, memories, abilities from childhood, also memories and abilities from past lives. The subconscious mind contains the lessons which you as a soul have come here to learn in this lifetime in the form of attitudes, beliefs, behavior patterns. So with meditation, you tap into the subconscious and draw those attitudes, behaviors, and lessons to the surface. At the same time, you can unlock the vast storehouse which will bring about the fulfillment of your desires and your destiny. So this is one of the uses or one of the approaches in meditation. Now, it can be highly effective and highly beneficial. One of the things that many people do meditation for is peace. Peace of mind and relaxation, reduced tension, anxiety, fear, and stress. Does meditation do this? Most assuredly. It's almost impossible for that not to take place when you're meditating properly, just even relaxing, because that's all that's required, just some relaxation, and generally that's going to be available to you. So, but that's not the purpose of meditation. That's a fringe benefit. So what you can do with meditation is tap into the depths of your being in so many different ways. Well, let us look now at some of the different types of meditation that have been used through the centuries, really, and the various traditions that have promoted different kinds of meditation. So let's talk about the first one, which let's call mindlessness. And this is where you would go into meditation and clear the mind when you would think of nothing. Whatever thought comes into your mind, you brush it aside. You gently brush it aside. You don't get uptight, upset, angry, frustrated, because then it's counterproductive. Once you gently let it go and brush it aside until the mind becomes like a calm, clear pool with no ripples. That's the object of that kind of meditation. This is a very popular and commonly used type of meditation. It is popular in yoga traditions, and it is popular in Buddhist traditions and other traditions as well. Now, does it work? Of course, it does work. But it's not always easy for many people to become mindless in the sense of pushing all thoughts out of the mind, because the mind tends to bring up thoughts like the ocean brings in rivers, and they just keep coming. So for some people, such meditation is difficult. It's not easy to do. And some people, in fact, would never be successful at that kind of meditation. So let's look at a second kind of meditation, which I'm simply going to call structured meditation. This is a type of meditation involving various steps. It's almost like doing a ritual within your mind. So step A, step B, step C. And you would do these same steps probably the same every time. Now, in Buddhism, these kinds of meditation are very, very common. And it takes you through, it's really a disciplining of the mind. And it sort of trains the mind to engage in a disciplined, detailed movement from one thing to another. And this is very effective also in controlling the mind, because the mind is, let us face it, out of control most of the time. How much control do you have over the thoughts that constantly come up from the depths of your being? I think if you're honest, you're going to say little or none. So this kind of meditation, a structured program where you go from A to B to C to D within the scope of the meditation, is also effective. There are also, in the yoga tantra traditions, these kinds of meditation where, for example, you would meditate on a certain manifestation of God or a certain manifestation of the goddess, and you would make an offering in your mind of maybe an incense or fruits or flowers, on specific rituals, and this can also work very effectively. So this is common in tantric practices. Now, the next one we will speak about is mantra. Mantra meditation, kind of everybody knows a little something about mantra meditation. And mantra meditation, the whole point of mantra meditation largely is communion with God. Now, it could be some specific manifestation of God or of the goddess or of a demigod or demigoddess. What is a demigod or demigoddess? The equivalent in the Christian tradition would be an angel or an archangel. You know, a divine being, but still a divine being that exists here in the material creation, but on a higher level, a higher plane, a higher dimension, a higher planet. That's what we mean by demigod or demigoddess. So ultimately, mantra meditation would be, in its highest form, seeking communion with God. There's a lovely analogy in the Upanishads, which states that the soul and the supersoul, the living entity is the soul, the supersoul is God in the heart. They're like two birds sitting in the same tree. The soul, each one of us, is trying to enjoy the fruits of that tree. In other words, the tree is the body, and with this body, we're trying to enjoy the fruits of the material creation of our existence, all the things around us, and we're busy trying to enjoy it. And we pay little or no attention to the supersoul, Paramatma, it's called in Sanskrit, Atma, soul, Paramatma, supersoul, who's sitting right beside us the whole time, there to help us. But we're too busy doing this, that, and the other and looking for satisfaction outside of the self rather than within the self. So one can very effectively use mantra to bring about this communication and to contact God in the heart. So I'm actually going to give you a mantra today, a very simple one. Very easy. Everybody knows the mantra Om. Om is essentially the creative sound of the universe, sound of creation. So this mantra is Om Namo Vishnave. Om Namo Vishnave. Om Namo Vishnave. Now Vishnave is Vishnu. Vishnu is simply the Vedic name for God, the Sanskrit name for God. Vishnu means he who lives everywhere. That's what it means. Well, that's God. So Vishnave means unto Vishnu. Namo means I offer my respects, or I offer my salutations, or I bow down, I recognize. So here's the mantra, Om Namo Vishnave, Om Namo Vishnave, Om Namo Vishnave, Om Namo Vishnave. In meditation, go into your state of relaxation. We're going to do this a little bit later. We're going to use a different meditation. But chant the mantra and see if you can't contact God in the heart. And begin, if you haven't already, your communion with God in your heart. We look out around ourselves to other people and circumstances every day, all day long, my friends, to solve our problems, to make us happy, to give us fulfillment, to give us direction in life. But we rarely seek this from within ourselves. So I recommend you chant this mantra, test it out, see what it's like, and see what kind of success you get with it. You have to do it every day, 5 minutes if you can, 10 minutes if you can focus and practice. And I'd like to hear what results you get. Again, I'll give you the email, drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com. And let me also let you know that if you want to call in to the show, it's 521-8383. That's 521-8383. All right, we are coming up on our next break. We're going to look at creative visualization and active imagination, two other forms of meditation. When we return, The Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life.
you're looking for some direction in your life and want to see how things will likely unfold for you, why not have a Vedic astrological consultation? If you're on the verge of making an important life decision, if you feel stuck in some way and you need help in moving forward, this may be the ideal time to take advantage of the wisdom of this ancient science of Vedic astrology. We can look at your personal life, professional and business life, relationships, including marriage compatibility, when to begin a business, when to buy or sell a house, etc. We can determine the success potential of any business or endeavor under the sun. Timing is everything, and your success in any area of your life depends upon the right timing. With more than 30 years' experience, why not let us help you determine your best strategies and strengths? For your Vedic astrological consultation, we invite you to log on to our website at www.drewlawrence.com. Welcome back to the Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life. Well, we got an email, and I was asked, are there mantras in the Judeo-Christian tradition? Well, they don't use mantras specifically, but prayers and hymns. I mean, what are mantras but prayers? That's what they are. They're invocations to God. So that's what, more or less, what prayers and hymns are for. Another question has come in. Is there a specific place where you should meditate? The best place to meditate is the same place every day. It should be someplace in your home where it's quiet. You cannot answer the phones. You can't answer the door. You can't be texting people and be disturbed by the dog barking. Well, ideally, that would be the best place, and you should have a consistent time every day. Early in the morning is the best time, immediately after rising. Also, late at night is also a good time for meditation, or in the evening, I should say. All right, so let us look at creative visualization. Now, creative visualization is not technically meditation. It's, of course, been made popular recently by the book and the DVD of The Secret, which I'm sure many of you have seen or heard or read. And creative visualization is simply creating your reality. Is this possible? Absolutely. Does it work? Highly effective. So creating your reality means to see what it is you want and to infuse it with the power of your emotion. That is creative visualization. It's technically not meditation because it's more yang than it is yin, but it's more visualization, strictly speaking. Now, the last one I want to mention is active imagination. Active imagination is contacting your subconscious to find out what your beliefs are and to change those beliefs. Anything, any behavior you have, any belief pattern, any belief system can be changed, my friends. It can be changed. You're not doomed to do anything forever. So remember, the power is in your hands. And if you contact your subconscious through active imagination or meditative method, you can change things. For example, supposing a woman wants to go into a relationship, and every time she goes into relationship, the relationship doesn't work. It falls apart, and the man leaves her. Why? Because in her childhood, her parents broke up, and her father left her mother. So from that childhood experience, one simple belief was established, and that was this: men leave. That's her belief. So she goes into adulthood with this belief. So what happens when she goes into a relationship typically? The man at some point will leave her. As long as she has that belief, that is what's likely to occur. So beliefs such as this can be changed.
but they must be changed at the deepest levels possible, which is in a meditative state at the depths of your being in the subconscious. Can you change it through discussions with the therapist in the conscious mode? Not so easy. Not so easy. Maybe, but unless you get a good Jungian therapist, perhaps. But that's what another reason to use meditation in the form of active imagination to make these changes in your life. Now, I could go on and on, but of course our time won't allow us to go on and on. So let us do a short meditation now. What I want you to do is ask a simple question that you need the answer to. Should I move to Denver? Should I go into relationship with John or with Mary? Should I buy the house? Should I take the new job in Los Angeles? Whatever it might be. Okay? And ask the question and then let it go. Just let it go. And don't think about it anymore. It's a simple question. Ask it. Let it go. Close your eyes. If you're driving, do not do this. Close your eyes, breathe, relax, and let go. Deeply, deeply relax. Allow the stress, tension, fear, apprehension to drain from your body. Totally, completely relax. Breathe and let go. High above, envision a beautiful beam of pearl-white light coming down from the heaven, coming down, down, all the way down, entering through the top of your head, expanding throughout your head, torso, arms, legs, out the bottom of your feet. Earth below, relax, deep, deep, relax, deep and deep yourself by means of this beautiful light, connected with the heavens above and grounded in the earth below, relax. Now, allow to come into your subconscious. Do not choose or pick. Allow a door to appear in your subconscious. What color is your door? Door in good condition? Is it in poor condition? How does it look? Are there any unique features on this door? On the door is a single word written on the door. A single word. What is that word? Don't choose the word. Let it appear. What is the word? Now, open the door and step through. Where are you? Where do you see yourself? Are you indoors? Are you outdoors? What kind of place is this? Notice this place in as much detail as possible. How do you feel in this place? What's happening here? If anything, what is happening in this place? Anyone else there? What are they doing? How do you feel? All right. Continue for a couple of moments until you've completed the steps of the meditation. When you've completed steps, please return to consciousness, awakening, feeling peaceful, rested, relaxed, and at peace. Okay. So, that was our door meditation. Now, what are you going to do with that information? What you saw or what you felt? Some people see, they're very visual in meditation. Others are not. Others only feel and or sense. And both systems or methods are valid. So, not a problem there. Okay, whatever your question was, was your door in good repair, in bad repair? That's going to tell you something about the circumstance. You know, but the black door, maybe there's fear and anxiety around it, or maybe there's danger around it. If it's a red door, maybe there's passion, excitement, and ambition around it. If it's a white door, maybe there's peace and enlightenment around it, for example. Whatever the word is, oftentimes people get the word go or stop or enter, don't enter, whatever it might be. What does your word say? Because the word is a key indicator of what the answer to your question will be. You opened the door, you entered. What place were you in? Was this a good experience, a bad experience, a neutral experience? Sometimes with these kinds of questions in meditation, the answers are crystal clear. I mean, you cannot miss knowing what it means. Sometimes, and that could be very favorable or it could be unfavorable. And sometimes it's a little fuzzy and the answer is not as clear. So how you felt once you entered through the door, that should tell you a lot about whether it's a good idea to move to Denver, to take the job in L.A., to go into relationship with John or Mary. Whatever your question was, try this out on other questions, but you cannot begin the meditation by being attached to the results. If you're attached to the answer you want, my friends, it won't work. You have to be in a neutral state of mind, okay? So please email us at drewlawrenceshow@gmail.com with your questions, with your comments. We would love to hear from you. And also for Vedic Verdict, send in your birth chart, your name, birth date, birth time, birth place, and a question. We'll try to do that for you. All right. So we thank you for joining us today at the Drew Lawrence Show. That's all the time we have on our meditation segment. We hope that was of some help to you. Thanks for joining me, Drew Lawrence, and my KHVH crew here in Hawaii. Wishing warm congratulations to Justin and Josie for a week from today, a big date. All the best to you too. Next week, my guest will be author Dr. Don Brennan, doctor of Ayurvedic medicine, and our topic will be female empowerment as we explore the seven faces of woman. Ladies, you will not want to miss this. We're looking at all the big archetypes: the messenger, the warrior, the mother, the queen, the priestess, the lover, the martyr. And do not forget to send us your birth info, your questions. And thank you for joining us on the Drew Lawrence Show, Living an Enlightened Life.
Thank you for listening to the Drew Lawrence Show. Please join us again next Saturday at 5 p.m. Until then, may you live an enlightened life. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.drewlawrence.com.
We report.
We just want to make sure our ports are secure.
And you decide.
Why don't people afraid to say it? They're socialists.
News Radio 830 KHVH Honolulu.